Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we talk about keeping your pets free from ticks and fleas and other springtime maladies. And a whole bunch of other things, too, as we visit with Dr. Kerry Donahue. Dr. Donahue is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, graduate of the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, has a practice in Madison and on Monroe Street, if I'm not mistaken, and does a wonderful job. And she does a lot with holistic care. So, well, she also does, what is it? Would it be standard care?
Conventional.
Conventional, right. That's the proper term. Conventional care as well, but she likes to do holistic care whenever she can. You can join in, questions or comments, at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And ticks, here we got all this snow on the ground.
Oh, boy. I just had a client yesterday contact me that she pulled a tick off of her dog yesterday.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So they're starting to wake up. As the weather warms up, it's something that we have to start to think about. Yeah.
How do you treat? Are there ways to treat for ticks and maybe fleas holistically?
Yes. And kind of like what you mentioned, what my practice focuses on is how can we treat animals holistically and naturally as a first line of defense? And if we're not making any progress there, then moving on to more of the conventional methods.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes I recommend that if people can use natural flea and tick repellents, to use those as much as possible. So kind of as we get into the season, using some of the natural products instead of going right away and putting either Frontline or Advantix on your dogs or cats to prevent the fleas and ticks from coming. That's the way to go, and that's what I recommend. And it just kind of keeps your animal healthier as they move through the season. I have a wonderful natural flea and tick and actually mosquito repellent that I use quite a bit. It's the best natural product that I found, and it's a cedar oil based spray.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it works really well. And the nice thing,
too, smell good, too.
It smells good. If you don't mind the smell of cedar, you can use it on your pets, dogs, cats, and you can also use it on yourself. It is what I use when I go camping. I use it on my daughter. It's completely 100% natural and safe. So that's one of the positive benefits of it. And it really works at repelling fleas and ticks and mosquitoes.
Well, I like that. And what's it called again? It's
The name of the product is called Wonderside, and you can go onto their website, wonderside.com. You can order it online yourself and try it out. They have products that you can apply on your pet, and they have environmental treatment products too. So if you might have a flea infestation, fleas come in on your cat or dog, and then they start populating around your house. So treatment methods for your house, the environment, and all of that as well.
What about heartworm, which could be a harder thing to control holistically,
right.
But maybe
yes,
not?
Exactly. Heartworm is one of those things where oftentimes we have to use the conventional treatments. And typically that is HeartGuard, IverHeart, some of those products it's a pill that you give once a month to your dog to prevent heartworm disease. And that really is the most effective way to prevent heartworm disease. What I often recommend is to give it seasonally. So heartworm disease is transmitted by mosquitoes. So you can start during mosquito season around April or May and then go through about November, December, after we get a good frost, and then continue for about a month after. And then give them a break in the winter and do a heartworm test in the spring. The other thing that I also recommend while you give the heartworm preventative is to give an herbal to help the body process that ivermectin or whatever the drug is that prevents the heartworm. So milk thistle is a great herbal that you can give the day that you give the heartworm preventative and for about 5 days afterwards.
What is it again? I'm sorry.
It's called milk thistle.
Milk thistle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Milk thistle is an herb that really helps to support the function of the liver. And the liver is the organ that processes any medication, any drug.
Oh, okay. Would you use it in other circumstances?
I use milk thistle all the time. And I usually recommend it just as sort of an all-over detoxification herbal for animals. It's good for humans to take too, but it's something that you can give to your pet once a month, do it for about 3 to 5 days, and then stop. And you can do that monthly just to help detoxify their systems.
Well, we have lots of callers online. Every line is filled. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today on the Ideas Network. She's the founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Last time I went to your website, I thought, ooh, this is a nice website.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And there's aside from just information about where you are and what your it's interesting to read about your philosophy and what your business is about. And you have some good tips and so forth on there as well.
Yes, exactly. I try to include things that I do in the clinic, how I my philosophy, just like you said, and my perspective on veterinary medicine and keeping animals well as naturally as possible.
Yeah. And it's, we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, but it's what's the official title of it?
It is, the website is fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com. Mm-hmm. Catherine and Sullivan has a question for you, Dr. Carrie, so let's go there. Hi, Catherine, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Just in time, I'm dog sitting a very little apricot poodle, and she's very spoiled. She was a rescue from a puppy mill, and so these people have been feeding her food, like one piece of kibble at a time.
Oh, wow.
And I started last night, I'm thinking, well, this is going to end. You know, she's going to learn something. So I tried it because she wouldn't eat, and she wouldn't eat last night, and she wouldn't eat this morning, and she looked miserable. So I make these very good dog cubes of, you know, like a ground turkey and sweet potato, and I mix it all up, and I just use it instead of dog food on my kibble, our kibble. And so I gave her I gave her two cubes and some cottage cheese. She wolfed it down. So I thought, I'm going to look at her gums. I looked at her gums, and they're terrible.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking she's not eating because of her gums are painful. And I have to call these people today and tell them, you know, what do I tell them? Because they're you know, she's very cared for. And I don't know how to not insult them, but what do I say?
Boy, you know, and that's one of those things that I really encourage pet owners to keep an eye on their animals' teeth and gums. It's not something that a lot of people do. You're not always, you know, lifting up the lips and taking a look and seeing how those gums and teeth look. But it's very important, especially if an animal is hesitant to eat, appetite isn't great, they might have something going on in their mouth. So what you have done, I think, is wonderful. By making the homemade food just to promote the animal to start to eat a little bit more, and it sounds like everything is going well with that. So maybe even just mentioning to the owners that you gave the dog a little bit of this homemade food and it was really going well, and then you noticed that the gums were a little bit irritated. And it might be worth going into a veterinarian just to have a second look at that and seeing if the animal might need a dental cleaning or even some tooth brushing, something like that.
Be real low key.
Yeah.
Well, as you, I think, you know, animals, like dogs, have a way of hiding when they're in a little serious pain.
Oh,
too.
They do. It's so hard to read them and to figure out what's going on when they're showing signs like, you know, they might not have a great appetite. Well, what's the cause of that? So,
right.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, as a cat owner, I was away on a long vacation, and the professional cat sitter, you know, realized there was something wrong with one of the cats and took the cat to the vet. Probably saved the kitty's life.
Oh, wow. And that's something that happens with cats, too. Dogs, when their owners leave, they can get really stressed out. And sometimes that stress can cause illnesses to pop up, you know, or there is something that they've been hiding for a long time. Just that stress puts
them
forward. Over the edge. Exactly.
Yeah. So the reason I brought it up is, as an owner, I was really happy that she noticed that and got to the vet. So I guess I'll bet that the owners of this dog are going to feel the same way toward you if you tell them about an issue that may need attention right away.
Yes, definitely. I would agree.
Yeah. So good luck, Catherine. Thanks a lot for calling. Probably a good thing for the dog that she was sitting.
I know, exactly. Yes.
Susan in Minocqua, it's your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Boy, am I lucky. I turned off a song I didn't like and turned on your your show. Yeah, we live up in Minocqua where we our chicks are horrible. The mosquitoes are horrible. But anyway, probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we came up with a DEET-free mosquito and tick repellent. But what I wanted to tell you, what we found, because, you know, you get to the point where you don't want to have dogs because the Lyme is really high up here. And having dogs, you know, they bring it in so often, the ticks. But what I found was we use a lot of cinnamon. We found people have found that it's helping in treating people with Lyme. But what I did was I mixed an ounce of pure cinnamon leaf oil and 2 liters of a Menards, you know, heavy-duty spray container.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's meant for, like, chemicals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sprayed a yard. A yard's probably about an acre. And then I went and did it, 2 weeks later. And you know what? Our dogs did not get one tick.
No.
Wow.
Not one tick. And then I had Googled it, and there's somebody else on the Internet that had come to that realization, too. And it's huge. I mean, a bottle of cinnamon costs like $20.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cinnamon essential oil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we're really happy about that because, you know, Lyme is just so devastating.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So you use how much did you use of that, Susan?
Just an ounce. You put a one-ounce bottle in a sprayer. It's a two-liter sprayer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, you know, though a lot of essential oils can be used as natural flea and tick repellents. And I'm happy with the cedar oil. And the nice thing is that it's kind of in a product already.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly I have plenty of clients that make their own flea and tick repellents using essential oils like the cinnamon. You can use citronella. You can use lavender. You can use rose geranium, a number of essential oils that are safe diluted in a spray bottle with some distilled water, and you can use that. You can apply it to your pet, and you can use it in the environment as well.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate your call very much. She certainly had good luck with that.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear.
And we'll turn next to Chris in Galena, Illinois, who has something for us. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, we have a little bitty dog, a little Yorkie poo. He's about 7 pounds. And every year when we give him his, you know, flea and tick, you know, stuff in between his shoulders, for about a week or so afterwards, he just looks sick. And he doesn't eat much, and he'll vomit. And then I think that at least once I've caught him sort of having a fit kind of a thing, something like that. And I just wonder if there's anything that we can do. I mean, we make sure we buy from the vet, and we make sure we get the right dosage.
Mm-hmm.
But what should we be cautious on this, or?
Yeah, I would definitely be cautious going forward using that same product. It might be worth talking to your vet about switching to another flea and tick preventative, because some dogs that don't do well with one will do okay with another one. But this is the perfect situation where you might be able to make that switch over to more of a natural product. Because, you know, just thinking about the front line and those flea and tick preventatives that are out there, the conventional ones, they're pesticides. So you're putting it on your pet, and they do work well to prevent the fleas and ticks, but you wonder, you know, what they might be causing internally for the animal if you're doing it every single month. And I have a number of people that come to see me for holistic alternatives for that reason alone, that their animal is getting sick after they take the heartworm medicine or after they get the flea and tick. So they're looking for the natural alternatives. And this would be another case, too, where if you do go with a conventional treatment, giving that milk thistle to help the dog's body deal with getting that treatment.
So milk thistle, but then, and the other product that you recommended a little earlier in the show, but bears repeating again.
Right, yeah, it's called Wonderside. And you can go online to wonderside.com. It's that cedar oil spray that works really well for repelling fleas and ticks. And you also, I mean, the thing with that is it's not a once-a-month application. You have to apply it a couple of times per week to provide the protection. So, but I definitely think it's worth it in the long run.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
sure.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling. Talking today about holistic ways to treat and work with your pet with our guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Have you used holistic methods to treat your pets? What were the results? Hope you'll join in as we visit with Dr. Carrie Donahue. And just to mention as well, Kathleen Dunn at 2 o'clock today will be talking about how teenagers are feeling about the 2016 presidential election, which has nothing at all to do with what we're talking about. But I tell you what, it sounds like an interesting show, and I hope that I'll have a chance to listen to part of it. And I do also want to take a moment to thank you and to thanks to everybody who contributed during our winter membership drive. We had more than 3,700 listeners pledge, 865 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio, and you donated more than $500,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you depend on. And this drive, we surpassed 20,000 sustaining members, which is just absolutely wonderful. So thank you so much. And we're back to normal business today. And on this show, normal business in part involves Dr. Carrie Donahue, who comes by to talk with us about holistic care for your pets. And again, you can join in with your own questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. And, oh, lots of callers. Let's go to Nikki in Milwaukee next. Hi, Nikki. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I have a question for your guest. I use a product for my dog for flea and tick prevention. It's a natural product called Bug Off. And the company that makes it is called Springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a garlic compressed like supplement that we get for every day.
Mm-hmm.
We just started doing it last year, and we stopped for the winter. I was going to start it up again soon, but I've also read conflicting. I've read a lot of good reviews about it, but I've also read some conflicting information that garlic in high doses is toxic or lethal to dogs.
Hmm.
So I just wanted to get your opinion on that before I start giving it to her again this season.
Oh, okay. And that's a really good question about, and that giving garlic to dogs and cats, it is a bit controversial. I have never had a problem, and I always think that garlic is really great as a natural flea and tick repellent, and it's good to help support the immune system. So dogs can get a clove of garlic every day and be totally safe. Where the problem comes in is that garlic is in the onion family, and onions are definitely toxic to dogs and cats.
Yes.
They can cause anemia. So garlic a lot of times gets lumped into that just for safety precautions. But there's no evidence that garlic causes anemia in dogs or cats. So it's safe to give. And the product that you're using, that Bug Off, I have had clients that have used that and have had good success with it. So it sounds like it's, you know, if it's working, then keep using it.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Sharon in Belmont next. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
We're having an awful time with our dog. We took him to the vet, and she checked his liver and kidneys and all of that. And he's fine that way, but he must have arthritis. That's all we can figure out. And
oh, I'm sorry. We lost you there for a second, Sharon. What did you just say?
I said the vet did not know what was the matter with our dog, but we could only figure out that he has arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And but we've gotten something off the internet now. It's all natural, and it's really helping his arthritis. But he's chewing his feet until they're raw, and chewing one on his elbows. And he's pulled the hair out. He's pulled the skin off.
Ooh.
And we don't know what to do. The vet gave us something called Hydro Plus to apply to his feet, the bottom of them, twice a day. But that isn't doing anything to help him.
Oh, I wonder if there's some allergy issues going on.
I know, it kind of sounds like it. And did that start after you began with the arthritis supplement?
No, it started before that.
Okay.
I wondered if he was maybe allergic to his dog food or something.
Yeah, it's sometimes with those hypersensitivities, those allergies where dogs are chewing and biting on their feet, it can be the sign of either an environmental allergy, so something that they are coming into contact with on their feet, or it can be the sign of a food hypersensitivity to it. Might not be a full-blown food allergy, but something that your pet is coming into contact with is irritating them. So, and you know, we're kind of starting to get into the environmental allergy season as we go into spring with all the pollen that's going to be coming out there.
Yeah.
So it, and that could be part of it, or it could be something in the food that's causing it. What kind of food do you have him on?
It's Farm and Fleet, and he's eaten it all his life.
Okay. And what can happen, too, with dogs that have eaten even one type of food and they've done fine on it for years and years and years, at some point their body can start to develop a hypersensitivity or an allergy reaction to something in the food. So it might be worth thinking about switching him to maybe a limited ingredient food, trying something else and seeing if that makes a difference.
Do you know anything about blue buffalo? They recommended that at the vet's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and blue buffalo is a nice food, especially because most of the products that they have are grain-free. So for dogs and cats, I always recommend doing a grain-free food. So eliminating the corn, eliminating the wheat, eliminating the soy, and some of those high carbohydrates that are in a lot of the foods that can be inflammatory. Any animal that has an allergy issue, I recommend going to a grain-free food.
Yeah.
So I think the blue buffalo would be worth trying, and that might make a difference with the licking and biting at the feet and elbow.
Yeah, absolutely. Give it a try. It can't hurt.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot, Sharon, for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Chris in Wanakee next. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I've got a 12-year-old golden doodle who's been suffering from a seasonal allergy that causes his skin to itch quite a bit. And, of course, allergies tend to get worse over time. And his is now, it used to pretty much go away with the frosts in the winter, and now there's a vestige of it all the time, you know, as itchy chin and stuff. And we've tried, you know, like human remedies, Benadryl and things like that, Claritin for him, but it doesn't work well. The only thing that's ever really provided any rest for him is prednisone, which we don't like to use. And there's a drug that we've heard about from another vet that is a guest of Larry's called Apoquel, which we haven't been able to try because it hasn't been available. And I'm just wondering if you had any thoughts on something holistic.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's very much that you can do holistically. And just a note on the Apoquel. As far as medications go, Apoquel has really made a huge difference in a lot of animals that have allergies. So I use Apoquel for those situations where, you know, the kind of the natural methods aren't working. That's the next line that I go to, and it's much safer than giving a steroid like the prednisone or Benadryl, which in antihistamines, a lot of those really don't seem to have much effect for animals. So the Apoquel is out there. It's the limited availability, so you have to find somebody that can get it for you, but that can make a big difference when you're in that situation. But I would say, what kind of food are you feeding? Going back to the food again.
He gets a hard-boiled egg every morning.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a quarter-pounder, a quarter-pound hamburger with rice and a little bit of a blue buffalo kibble.
Okay, okay. So you're feeding fresh food, which is wonderful, and you're feeding the grain-free food. So nothing that I would really change there. I would keep with the food that you're feeding. Do you add in any probiotics?
No.
Okay, that would be something that you could think about doing, adding in a probiotic supplement. And this is because even though the dog is, you know, maybe having the environmental allergies, 80% of the immune system is in the cells that line the GI tract. So any sort of allergy, I always try to first focus deep on the gut or healing the GI tract and getting that as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. So potentially adding in the probiotics, and I usually recommend a supplement that also has digestive enzymes in it as well. Mm-hmm. That can make a big difference with the seasonal allergies. There is a natural supplement that's kind of seen as a natural antihistamine, kind of like nature's Benadryl, it's called, and it's called quercetin. And quercetin is a flavonoid that you can get over the counter. It's sold for humans, but that's very safe to give to dogs, and that might make it have an effect as an antihistamine and help with the itching.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. And you'll find quercetin often comes with another supplement called bromelain, and that is an extract from pineapple, and that extract helps the quercetin work better. So that might be something that you could start giving right away, get on board before the heavy allergy season hits, and you might have some success with that.
There you go.
Great. We'll give it a shot. Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Yep, thanks a lot, Chris, for calling. I appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. We did have a caller who couldn't hang on, but asked if he can use diatomaceous earth to discourage fleas and ticks in the animal's bedding. I don't
yes.
think you would.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I would be afraid of inhaling it.
No,
the animal inhaling it.
Yeah. No, it's really actually very safe, and you can apply it directly to your animal. I have. There's actually a product that I use, and it's from a company called Buck Mountain, and it's parasite dust is what it's called, and it's basically diatomaceous earth, and it has some other herbals in it that you apply directly to your pet, but diatomaceous earth can be used in the environment, in the bedding as well.
Okay.
And some people will put it into their animal's food, so they're eating it, and it can help as just like a natural dewormer.
Okay, so I immediately thought of, okay, if it's inhaling it into the lungs, it could be a problem. But,
yeah, no, I've never seen it be a problem for animals.
Okie dokie, let's go to Sue in West Bend then. Hi, Sue, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I have a question about tapeworm in dogs. I just found some tapeworm segments in her coat.
Mm.
Oh.
If there's something in the natural world or my spice cabinet I could use or a food that would make them leave.
Tapeworms are pretty difficult to get rid of naturally just because they can attach to the lining, the intestinal tract, and they're really hard to get rid of naturally. So that would be a situation where I would say getting just a conventional dewormer, you give it one time and you're done, and it should take care of the tapeworms.
Okay, very good.
All right, thanks, Sue. Oh, yeah, you want to make sure you get rid of them.
I know, yeah, exactly.
Sooner rather than later.
Right, I know. And that's the thing with a lot of the natural dewormers, because there is the potential for crossover, you know, humans can pick up some of the parasites.
Yeah.
So with the dewormers, oftentimes I recommend doing the conventional because it's one and done. The natural products, a lot of times you're giving it every day for weeks and weeks and weeks. You might get rid of them, you might not. So that's one case where I usually go conventional.
David from Milwaukee wanted to know why the use of milk thistle is limited. Is it toxic if you use it over a longer period of time? And I don't know if if that's what he interpreted from what you said, or if it's something on the label.
No, it's milk thistle is very safe to use every single day. And I would say if you're giving your animal a medication every day, you can give them milk thistle every day. The animal might just not need it. So that's why I say, you know, you do it for 3 to 5 days once a month just to help detoxify and support. You just don't have to give it every single day.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. We have more callers online. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. We have Sheila in, I wonder if it's Boscobel. Let's go there. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. My dog, he can go about 7-8 miles and home, but anything over that, then he pukes.
In the car. Okay, so he goes, 7-8 miles he gets. And probably the veterinarian is 9 miles away.
How about the 23 miles?
Oh, it's a long ride.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like it's a green kind of yellow bile type.
Oh.
It's, you know, and I've tried not giving him any food or water before I have to take him to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
That don't work either. It just, I get 7 miles, maybe 8, and then that's it. We're done.
Oh, boy. Well, there are two things that I would recommend trying. The first would be giving some ginger. And just like with people, ginger is really great for nausea, can help settle the stomach. If you have ginger tea at home, you could just give a couple of teaspoons right before you go. You can give candied ginger as well, but just some sort of ginger in there can really help with that car sickness. The other thing that I would say is something for the stress, because animals, when they get in the car, they can get stressed out, and that can cause the stomach acid to start churning, and then that can contribute to the vomiting. So probably the easiest anti-stress, anti-anxiety supplement that you could give would be a product called Rescue Remedy. And that is, it's a flower essence. It's very safe. It's like a homeopathic. It's not going to have any negative side effects, but it usually helps to take the edge off. So the two of those things might be worth trying before you get in the car to help with that car sickness.
Sheila,
where would I find this Rescue Remedy at?
Rescue Remedy, you can get, and it's actually a human product, so you can find it at most health food stores. You can order it online as well.
Does your dog sit and look out the window when he's in the car?
Sometimes. Most time he just kind of curls up and lays down.
Okay. Because sometimes I know from talking with Patricia McConnell that dogs, if they look out while they're riding, they can get sick from that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't sound like that's the case with Sheila's dog.
No, because I usually put a blanket down on the seat, and then he just lays there, and then
Oh, boy. Well, we've got some good advice here from Dr. Carey, so take a look, Sheila, and thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And know that your dog isn't the only one that gets car sick.
Right. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deborah in Cedarburg has something for us. Hi, Deborah.
Hi there. Yes, I have a cat who is 5 years old and has gotten asthma in the last year. And he has been on a steroid now ever since, and he has gained some weight because of it. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there's anything else I could try
to control asthma.
Right, yes, definitely. And the steroid for asthma is very effective because it helps with the inflammation, and asthma is inflammation in the airways. So sometimes I have success getting cats off of a steroid by using a natural plant sterol. So, and it works similar in the body to the steroid, but instead of suppressing the immune system and thereby suppressing the inflammation, it helps to moderate the immune system and moderate the inflammatory response. So the product that I use, there are a couple of them that are these, it's plant sterols. And one of them is called ModuCare, ModuCare. And that comes as a capsule that you can give to your cat twice a day, and that can really help sort of moderate the immune system and help with the inflammation naturally. That's probably the best alternative that I have for asthma in cats to the steroid. Some people do have success using essential oils in diffusers for cats that have asthma. So
really?
That might also be something to look into. I wouldn't recommend taking an essential oil and actually applying it to your cat, but putting it into a diffuser so they're breathing it in is very, very safe. And you can even start out with an essential oil like lavender and put a couple of drops in a diffuser and have that going in the room that your cat tends to go in, and so they're breathing that in, and that can help with the inflammation.
Mm. Okay, yeah, because he did get x-rays and mm-hmm. they did see the inflammation mm-hmm. there, and I can tell when, you know, I play cat dancer with him too long, you can hear his breathing.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
only five.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, he's got a long life ahead of him.
Right.
Right. Well, I hope so.
My
hair capsules, does that come in liquid by chance or
it,
anything?
No, it does not.
Because the two cats eat together.
Okay, and the nice thing about that,
food, it's, and believe me, I've tried, because my other cat has her own issues and has to be on this very expensive pre-digested food. So I tried feeding them separately. It doesn't work. So
okay.
They're both eating the pre-digested food.
Okay. Well, and the nice thing about that MajuCare is it only helps to boost the immune system.
Okay, so
it would be very,
good for
very
either
safe.
Cat.
Yeah, for both cats, and it might benefit both of them.
Okay.
All right, give it a try. Deborah, and thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She has her veterinary degree from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. And again, you can go to her website at Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And I've forgotten the exact title of it again.
The website is fullcirclepet.com.
Pet.com.
Know,
all right. We've got that. And Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you along on the Ideas Net as we take a look at holistic health care for your pet today with Dr. Carrie Donahue. I'm Larry Mueller. And again, if you have a question, every line is filled at the moment, but the number is 1-800-642-1234. You can always leave an email at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question on our Facebook page. And actually, it's always fun to get pet photos, too. So if you've got a photo of your pet, post it up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to see it. We have Sue in Madison, next with a question. Let's go to Sue. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. My question is about the Wonderside flea and tick. You know, I'm at the site right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled with a C, C-I-D-E,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep,
yes. And then everything I click on, one is for pets and home. And it sounds like that's not to put on the pet per se, but just around the house. The other one's for pet and yard or something like that. And, of course, that must not be the one.
Mm.
So which one is the one I'm supposed to pick for my dog?
Oh, I'm surprised you can't find it. I feel like that the product that you are to use for application to pets is called Evolve, E-V-O-L-V.
Oh,
I'm not sure if you see that on there, but that's kind of like the next category.
Okay. I Googled it, it came up Evolve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it's called,
Wonderside
Evolve. Yeah.
So I'll take care of that. The other one is, how much milk thistle would I give when I use the HeartGuard and to help detoxify?
Mm-hmm.
How much should I give? This is two dogs, two labs, one 77 pounds and one is 83.
Okay. So what you can do, if you go and buy milk thistle and you go to a human health food store and buy the milk thistle supplement, for that size of dog, I would just do half of the human dosage.
Okay.
The nice thing about milk thistle is if you give too much, their body is just not going to use it. It's just going to flush it out. What I have the most success doing with the milk thistle is using it in the form of a tincture, and a tincture that is preserved and made with glycerin, so a glycerin-based tincture, because that makes the herbal a little bit sweet. So it's easier to give. It's kind of hard if you just have the dried herb. If you have it in a capsule form and you can hide it in something, that's great. But sometimes getting a glycerin-based tincture is easier to give to dogs and cats. The company that I use for most of the herbal tinctures that I most commonly use is called Animal Essentials. And you can order those online. They have a really nice one that's called Detox Blend. And that has milk thistle. It's got dandelion in it. It's got red clover. Just an all over supports all of the organs. They also have a milk thistle and dandelion tincture, or they have just milk thistle by itself. So I think those are a little bit easier to use, the ones that are made specifically for animals.
Yeah, there
is
we
that,
go.
Is that animalessentialsonword.com?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try that.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Sue. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. And Dana in Madison, your turn. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Dr. Donahue. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I am a foster parent that I only do hospice fosters for local shelters.
Okay.
And I have a male cat. He's 10 years old and he has lung cancer. And he is doing well so far, but he'll be with me through the end. And just wanting to check to see if there's anything I can do to naturally to help him support him through this and to also keep his pain at bay with that.
Wow, good for you. That is such a
wonderful
thing that you're doing. Is he on any pain medications right now?
He is not, and the agreements that I have with the shelters is that they don't provide anything like that, so it would be something that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm willing to go, you know, if he needs to see a doctor to get that, but I wanted to see first if there was anything natural I could try.
Boy, yeah. With the cancer and with cats, it's important to control the pain. There's not a lot of really great pain supplements for cats. I would say if you wanted to add something in that might just help overall, I would think about doing a curcumin or a turmeric extract, because that can help with pain. It can help with inflammation. It's anti-cancer. So that might be something that would be potentially easy to get in the cat, because you always have to think about that too, adding things in. You just want to keep them eating is the main thing. But that might be something that would be not too difficult to get in and could have an effect, a positive effect overall.
But it would be in addition to other things?
In addition to probably a regular pain medication, just because we don't know how painful this might be for the cat. So I think it would be a good idea to go in and see a vet that might be able to prescribe something as well.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult, you know, with cats, they hide it so well.
Oh,
I
know.
I just want to make sure.
Right.
So as far as the turmeric and the curcumin, I have both of those that I take.
Oh, great.
If I were to add that, they're in capsule, if I were to maybe add that to his food, is that enough, or is there a veterinary type of prescription or type of item that I might choose instead?
Well, the product that I use, it's called CurcuVet.
Okay.
And it comes in these tiny capsules that are easy to give to cats, and the nice thing about it is they've purified it down, and there is absolutely no flavor to it whatsoever.
Okay.
So you can open up that capsule, put it on the food, and the cat, I mean, they're more sensitive to everything anyway, but really so much easier to give than a lot of other things that are out there.
Okay. Right. I will look that up. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, thank you, Dana. You're doing some great work there.
Mm-hmm.
Gene in Pierce County up next with a question. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Speaking of curcumin, I would like to use it to treat my 12-year-old Lab Springer Mixes arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering about dosage and if I need to mix it with anything for efficacy.
Yes. Are you thinking about using the spice turmeric itself?
Yes.
Okay. If you're going to go in that direction, you do want to mix it with, they usually recommend mixing it with actually black pepper and some type of an oil. I often recommend coconut oil to really extract the active ingredients from that turmeric.
Oh, excellent.
Before you give it to the dog. And you can actually look up online recipes on how to make a turmeric paste where you're going to boil the turmeric with water and then you're going to add in the black pepper and add in the oil. And you can kind of make this paste that you add into the food every day.
Oh.
And so that would be the way to give the turmeric itself. If you don't get one of those products like what I just mentioned, that CurcuVet where it's already extracted.
Okay, I will check into both of those. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Jean. And let's see. We have a caller from Duluth, Minnesota next. K?
Hello?
Hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. We have a little dog. He was a rescue dog, and he's about 7. And in the last couple years, he's had 2 ear infections with yeast in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was maybe 2 months ago. So usually our vet will put in something that's a little bit sticky, and it lasts for a month. The last one was for 1 month. And we were there a few weeks ago, and I asked if there's some way we could clean his ears, and she did give me something, but I was wondering if there's some natural, like an herb or an oil that we could do just like for maintenance work on his ear.
For cleaning the ear, you're saying?
Yes,
for cleaning.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I have really good success with vinegar. With white vinegar. And vinegar is really great for yeast, antifungal properties. I wouldn't use it straight. I would dilute it 50-50, white vinegar and water.
Okay.
And you can use that as a maintenance cleaner, works really well. If it looks like the ear canal is inflamed and red, you might decrease the vinegar a little bit and do 25% vinegar, 75% water, just because it can sting a little bit if the skin is inflamed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks so much for calling. You know, I use white vinegar on tabletops and so forth for cleaning.
It's amazing stuff, isn't it?
Isn't that? There's so many uses for it. Oh, my goodness me. Nicole in Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Nicole.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing. What's on your mind?
I have a 6-year-old Patterdale who has just this morning chewed our carpeting. He actually ate a hole in our living room carpeting.
Oh.
yeah, my husband is not pleased. He did this about 1.5 years ago. We were living in an apartment for a few months until we moved. And 2 days before we moved out of the apartment, he ate a hole in the Berber carpeting in the middle of the hallway.
Oh.
I assumed it was because of the stress of packing and moving, and you know, he could tell something was going on, and so I kind of wrote it off to that and paid the nice bill that we had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But now he did it last night or sometime this morning. He did it, and I'm just wondering if you have any ideas. I don't want to, yelling and screaming at him won't do anything.
No.
Any ideas? And I don't want to keep him locked up all the time because he would have to be locked up even at night. Normally he sleeps on a pillow next to the bed in our bedroom, and now he can't be trusted for all of that.
No. Was there a more recent stressful event that might have happened before this, or did it just seem to happen out of the blue?
If this just happened out of the blue, I don't know of any. I racked my brain today trying to think of what's going on. Nothing is going on. I mean, our big thing is we're getting a new refrigerator on Thursday. I mean, we're done nothing. We're not moving. I'm not organizing, cleaning. Nothing that would.
Anything he might have seen outside through the window that would have ticked him off? Or?
Right, exactly.
It's actually between our dining room and our living room where he ate it. And you know, he likes to go outside and things like that. He loves being outside, but I don't know what would have set him off, and I don't know quite how to overcome this.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe trying something like what I mentioned earlier, that rescue remedy. If we're thinking, you know, this could be stress-induced anxiety issue, there are plenty of natural things that you can try for anxiety and stress. So oftentimes I recommend starting with the rescue remedy. And if that's not having effect, there is an herbal that's called valerian root. And valerian is one of the most calming herbs without being sedating, but it just kind of helps to take the edge off. So a good natural anti-anxiety, anti-stress herbal that's very safe to give. You can give it every day or you can give it situationally as well. So that might be something to look into too.
Another thing to think about it. Thanks a lot, Nicole, for calling. Appreciate it. Sylvia over on Facebook says that her dog is on phenobarbital for seizures. Something natural that could work there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a number of dogs that have had seizures that have been on phenobarbital where we are able to either transition them off of phenobarbital, which is the medication used to control the seizure that can have side effects, especially on the organs like the liver, and moving them onto herbals that prevent the seizures. Oftentimes I have to combine it with acupuncture. So that's one of those cases where doing acupuncture, doing Chinese herbal formulas specifically for the seizures can really help animals and can start to get them off some of those medications or at least to the lowest dose possible.
And we have one of Jennifer on Facebook wonders how much milk thistle can be given to an epileptic dog who is on KBR daily to control seizures.
Okay, so that's another, that potassium bromide is another medication that's used to control the seizures. So similar sourcing for the milk thistle, just using half of the human dose if you get a human formula, or finding a tincture or a powder capsule that's made specifically for animals and then using that dosage.
And over on Facebook, Brandon sent us a photo of a tick, and we were talking about ticks earlier, and says, here's a little guy. I've been picking these off me for the last week or so, even with chilly temperatures. So
They're back.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today. She is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She'll be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a look at the news, and then we will be back with Dr. Carrie. You stay with us. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Carrie Donahue, who owns and is founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, graduate of the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, and comes by every so often to help us with your pet's concerns or concerns you have about your pets. Let's put it that way. You may have some questions. I hope you'll join in. Every line is filled right now, but the number is 800-642-1234. Also email us at talk@wpr.org. Lori shot an email to us, and if a pet owner feeds diatomaceous earth to their pet, they should be sure it's labeled as food grade. Don't confuse it with the pool product.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. Yes. Thank you, Lori.
And Loretta asked in an email if there's anything she can give her 16-year-old cat who's been vomiting most of her food up. It is dry cat food. 16. She's getting up there.
Yeah, so it might be worth doing some diagnostics on why the cat is vomiting so much. A common thing is that at 16 years old, they can, like I mentioned before, they can develop an allergy to a food that they might have been eating for a long time, and the allergy just kind of comes up, and the frequent vomiting can be the sign of a food allergy. So it might be worth looking at the food, maybe thinking about switching to a different type of food, either a canned food or a different type of protein source, going to a grain-free food, just kind of playing around with it a little bit to see if there is maybe an ingredient in the food that the cat is getting now that's causing irritation in the stomach and is promoting that vomiting.
Okay, there we go. Kathy in Appleton has something about her cat, so let's go to Kathy. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. We have a 5-year-old cat who is just really inconsistent in her eating. We give her grain-free, wet and dry. And some days she eats it up, and some days she turns her nose. She'll bake her food then, we'll put it out, she'll turn her nose. We can't leave it out because we have another cat with some special dietary needs. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was that she didn't like fish or seafood, so we stopped buying those foods.
Well, now she sometimes turns her nose up on the other ones, and some days she eats them. One other thing, we usually put her dish on an island in the kitchen, and she jumps up there and eats, but lately some days she wants us to lift her up. And she runs around otherwise, so she doesn't have any sort of injury. Some days she insists on having the dish on the floor. So we think she's just a princess, but maybe there's something else that we're not thinking of. Can you give us any advice?
Boy, yeah. At that age, it's pretty young to be so picky with the food.
Yeah.
So it might, again, be worth going in and to your veterinarian, having some blood work done, diagnostics, just to make sure that everything is okay. Because cats that have endocrine issues, that can have organ issues, they can become very fussy eaters. Cats that have dental disease, like we were talking before, inflamed gums, that can cause them to not be so happy about eating all the time. So thinking about doing some of those diagnostics might be a good idea. You can also add in, you know, if you wanted to do some no-sodium chicken broth, add that in with the food just to make it taste a little bit better. You could add in some fresh food, some tuna or sardines. Maybe that might make the food that she's eating taste a little bit better and get her to eat more. Some cats that are really fussy for no other reason, I recommend it's a probiotic, and it's made by the company Purina, and it's called Fortiflora. You have to get that through a veterinarian, but what it does is it actually acts like a flavor enhancer to the food. So besides being a probiotic and having the benefit there, it makes the food taste better to a lot of cats. So that might be something worth looking into as well.
There you go. Thanks a lot for call. I'm sorry.
Thank
you. Yeah, thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. I have a friend who has just the absolute opposite problem with two cats. They're both very young cats, and they want to eat all the time, and they will attack even her as she, you know, she was standing eating a bowl of cereal the other day, and the cat with claws, jumped up on her back and tried to grab down and get into the bowl. And she is actually feeding them about twice of what they should be.
Really?
And they still are just like they're being starved to death.
Oh, my goodness. And they're young cats?
They're 6 months old.
Oh, wow. Well, and their metabolisms are so high that, you know, maybe they just need more and more calories. But that's tough to live with.
So, and so there really, there is not a whole lot you can do other than maybe just give them more food.
Right.
She has them, she has these balls and so forth where that you put the food inside and they've got to work to get the
Perfect.
Food out because otherwise they just, I mean, it just gobbles and it's gone instantly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I know, and I think that's a great idea. And even working on more things for the mental stimulation so they're thinking about other things and not about the food so much.
Yeah, one of them was a stray.
Oh, boy. And that can be a lifelong issue. For some cats, I've seen a lot that have come through rescues where food might have been scarce at one point in their life, and they never forget that.
Yeah.
They're always very, very food motivated. They can never get it enough. So those are the cats that you really have to watch their weight because they will tend to overeat.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's always exciting around her house.
Oh, I bet.
My
dangerous.
Gosh. You have to kind of guard your food, and then if you open the door, they want to get out the door right away, of course. So it's
oh my gosh.
It's quite an experience visiting over there. Oh man, Robert in Fond du Lac, it's your turn. Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Hi.
Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a dog. I'm not quite sure how old she is because she was a rescue from Hurricane Katrina.
Mm.
And so she's, you know, got to be, I'm guessing at least 10, you know, or maybe it was 11. But she recently has this issue where she's, like, sheds her skin. Like, her skin gets dry and flakes off in big flakes. And then gets very red, and she itches all the time. And then she also has, like, a chronic bladder infection that I'll get her antibiotics for, and then it'll go away, and then it'll come back, like, a month later.
Are those flakes, is it like dandruff, like human dandruff size, or?
No, they're large, way bigger.
Like a nickel size, or?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, okay.
And have you had her tested for some of those endocrine diseases that can cause those skin disorders?
I have. Last time I took her, when I took her in, they took some skin samples, and I know they tested for like mites and stuff like that too,
yeah.
and didn't come up with. I mean, I know that can sometimes come up negative when
right.
it's still positive, but every time I've gotten her tested, it's come back negative. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and just because some of those, even like hypothyroidism, which is a very common issue in older dogs, that can cause those skin diseases too. So maybe having some blood work done, checking for hypothyroidism or other endocrine diseases would be another step that you could take. It sounds like there is just overall inflammation in her body with those chronic bladder infections and with the skin being red and irritated too. So one thing you could try that's not going to do any harm and might help would be adding in fish oil. Adding an omega-3 fatty acid supplement. And for a larger dog like a lab, I would say you could do 1,000 milligrams twice a day of just a basic fish oil supplement. And that could help inflammation everywhere in the body and could really help her skin, too.
Yeah, and that would be something perhaps that you'd want to give it a while before you might see...
Yeah,
some result.
Right, exactly.
You wouldn't want to quit right away.
Right. I would give it at least 4 to 6 weeks before you decide if it's helping or not.
Yeah, okay.
And you can also safely add in vitamin E. And you can do vitamin E typically comes in capsules, kind of the human form. And you could give a vitamin E capsule, either the capsule directly or break it open and put it on the food. That's an antioxidant vitamin and can help the skin as well. So two things you could try.
Yeah, worth a try. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling, Robert. Appreciate your call very much, and good luck. Becky in Eau Claire has something for us. Hi, Becky. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to make a comment about how important it is living in Wisconsin to be vigilant about the ticks, because I was treating she was then 8-year-old golden retriever with the front line every year and the Lyme vaccine. She's had since she was a puppy, and she still contracted Lyme. Treated her for a full 3-week course, and then 6 months later, she developed glaucoma that they believe was related to the Lyme, and has had to have both eyes removed. So, I have a blind 10-year-old dog, but just make people aware that if the natural stuff works, I'm all for it. But you might want to combine it with some of that traditional, because it's not a disease to be messed with.
Yeah.
It's so true. Lyme disease is one of those that I see so much of despite doing those preventatives. And it's so important to know, like what you said, you can't rely on using frontline, giving the Lyme vaccine, doing the natural, all of that stuff. You still have to do the daily tick checks, brushing through, making sure your dog doesn't have ticks. And you can still have a tick that sneaks through. It takes, I believe it's 48 hours for the tick to transmit the Lyme bacteria into the dog, and sometimes that using something like frontline, it doesn't kill the tick fast enough before it transmits that bacteria. So yeah, it's a multimodal approach that you have to take to prevent Lyme disease.
Now, if we could come up with something like a metal detector, although it was a tick detector, that you could just wave over your dog here and there and have it beep when a tick...
Right.
A tick shows up, we can make a lot of money, Carrie. Make a lot of money. Oh, boy. It's hard. I mean, those ticks aren't very big,
especially the
ones that cause Lyme disease.
I know,
they're
those deer ticks. Oh, they're horrible. They're horrible. And if you have a dog that's got a thick coat of fur, it's almost impossible to know that you're finding everything on them.
Yeah. Thanks again for that call and that warning advice. Gretchen in Waterford, it's your turn. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, I'm calling about my dog, Lacey. She's a 1-year-old lab retriever mix, and she developed a skin rash on her belly area. It looks almost like petechiae.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got like a little rash around her eye as well. I took her to the vet. They gave me antibiotics.
oral antibiotics and then the topical cream. Mm-hmm. It went away a little bit, and it came back right away. Now, I thought it was because she was playing outside in the water, because we live close to a lake, and she's always outside. Mm-hmm. But it's happening in the winter, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering what else I could try instead of, like, the constant antibiotics.
Right, I know. And that's a cycle that a lot of pet owners get into with animals that have allergies, where you have a flare-up, you get antibiotics, you might get steroids, and it helps for a little bit. And then once you're off, then all of those signs and symptoms come back. So, you know, and there are allergy tests that you can do. There is a blood test where it will give you information on what your animal might be reacting to out in the environment. So that would be something to think about. There is also a food allergy test. The food allergy test I often use is by a company called NutriScan, and it's a saliva test, something that you can do at home, and then you can determine if your pet is having allergies to something in the food. So that might be worth doing. As far as what you can use to treat it now, I would say maybe thinking about that natural immune system booster that I mentioned before that's called ModuCare, that works like the plant sterol that helps to moderate the immune system, because your dog's immune system is overreacting to something in the environment, so we need to help to tone it down without completely suppressing it. So that's what I would say you might want to try. As far as using something topical as an alternative to an antibiotic or a steroid cream, there are great herbal creams out there and ointments and salves that you can use. Most commonly for any skin condition, using a calendula ointment or a calendula-based salve is really helpful for skin irritations.
There we go.
Could you spell that, please?
Calendula, it's C-A-L-E-N-D-U-L-A. And calendula is, I believe it's the Latin term for marigold. So that's basically what it is.
Marigold.
Pot marigold is the calendula.
And you said the ModuCare is a swab that I can send in?
No, the ModuCare is an actual supplement that you could give to help support the immune system's response to the allergens in the environment.
Okay.
And the test that you had for determining if there was a food allergy involved?
Right, that is called NutriScan.
NutriScan.
Yeah, so you can Google that. You can order what you need online. It's good to work with a veterinarian, but you don't have to. It's something that you can do yourself, and it's very helpful in determining food allergies in pets and very specific.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. And Jenny in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I love my kitty. She's wonderful. But she's got issues. And one of those issues is once, like a year or two ago, after we moved into our house, she saw a cat outside. She's an indoor cat. And she freaked out. And she was like, you couldn't even pet her, touch her. She didn't recognize us. She was yelling. It was classic scared kitty. Well, now, anytime it's like half light and she gets startled, she gets like that. Or if she sees cats, that's what she does. And, like, we can't approach her. And for hours, she'll just be yowly and hidey. And if you come near her, she'll, like, attack. And she actually loves us and hates everybody else. So it's very disturbing to see her, like, react like that. So, I kind of want to, like, I didn't want to, like, drug her, but, you know, there's these sprays, and I don't really know how safe they are. Is there some sort of natural thing I can do, like, or spray her with? Because I can't touch her and give her, like, the paw paste or anything like that to calm her down. Mm. I mean, I'm scared for her because she's so worked up.
Yeah.
I'm also scared for me because she has claws.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Have you
tried something like the feline pheromones?
Yeah, like the stuff you spray, it's supposed to mimic like the face glands.
Right, exactly.
I did that. So when she first had this happen, it was like days that she was like unapproachable.
Mm.
And it was awful because it was early in the morning, we were trying to sleep. And she was just flipping out. And so I got some and like I sprayed it everywhere and like that kind of helps, but like in the heat of the moment, she doesn't care about anything and you can't get near her, and the places she hides, like
if you get near there, this, like, crescendo of yowling, like, happens. So even if you look at her, you're like, that's how you find her when she's hiding, is you get, you just kind of wander around, and then she just starts yowling louder. You know where not to be.
Yeah. Well, what
that is an extreme case.
That is an extreme. So you might need to do a couple of different things. But I would say with those feline pheromones, I have found that going beyond the sprays, moving to a collar, if she would tolerate wearing a collar that's infused with those feline pheromones, then she's breathing that in. You leave them on, they last for about a month, and then she's breathing that in constantly. So it's not something that you would use situationally or rely on her smelling the spray, but it's something that she's just breathing in all of the time. So that might make a difference, looking for one of those pheromone collars. And you can get those over the counter. Pet stores have them. The other thing that I would say, if depending on if she likes catnip or not, catnip is really, really helpful for cats that are anxious, that are stressed out, that potentially might help her with her some of these issues that she's having. I often use catnip in a hydrosol spray along with the valerian root that I talked about earlier that can really help calm animals. So using a catnip, valerian spray or tincture, something like that, or even just getting some catnip and having it available for her at any time might help take the edge off too.
Is there like a catnip liquid I can put in my spray bottle and just spray her with it?
Yes, definitely. And I
that would be awesome because and when she's being ridiculous in the morning too, like that probably would help too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know of any online that you could get, but I do have some in my clinic. You could always contact me or give me a call or email, and I can get the product to you, but it's a catnip spray that you spritz around them. You can put anywhere, and it really helps a lot of cats.
Thank you so much, I'm going to stalk you now and find this, because this is a problem. Like, it's getting to be season where the cats come outside.
Yeah.
And I just want everybody in my neighborhood to keep their cat inside and not a cat, like, because they just want to be friendly, but my cat freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you tell your neighbors their cats will live almost twice as long on average if you keep them inside, and there'll be a lot fewer dead birds out there.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
And if I knew where they were living, believe me, I would tell them that.
All right. Good luck, Jenny. That is about the most extreme case I've ever heard on the show, and it may be one of the most you've ever heard.
Oh boy, yeah, that is intense.
Dania posted on Facebook, her dog has mid-grade mast cell tumors. They're choosing to stop removing them. Is there anything she can do to help naturally slow the tumors and keep her healthy and kind of until the end?
Yes, there are definitely things that you can do. Probably one of my top anti-cancer supplements is a medicinal mushroom supplement, and that works very well for slowing down and preventing mast cell tumors. The product that I use is made by the company called Host Defense, and they make a human product called My Community, and it's about 15 different types of medicinal mushrooms that have really great anti-cancer properties. Any animal that has cancer, I recommend they go on a mushroom supplement. The company also makes a product for animals specifically, and it's called Mush, and it's a powder that you can easily put right in with the food.
With that, we are out of time. Dr. Carrie Donahue, thank you so much. We'll get you back sooner.
Okay,
I mean, it's been quite a long time since you've been with us. We'll have you back sooner. We'll do this all over again. And in the meantime, what's your website address?
It is fullcirclepet.com.
fullcirclepet.com. Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Great to have her along, and certainly we will have her back again, and we'll do this all over again with her. Tomorrow we'll get an update on wildlife from Scott Craven. In the meantime, thank you for listening.